Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. And I believe that this message will lead us right back to where we started. I mean, have you got a bunch of other things to do? In the book of Proverbs. In verse 12, he said, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man. You see that? But the end thereof are the ways of death. Have you ever considered all the ways that seem right? All the ways that seem right to you. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, all the day long we have them. There's a way. And it seems right, does it not? Well, it seems right that I would go here today. Or it seems right I'd get up and go to work. Or it seems right that I'd stay home. Or it seems right that we'd have this for dinner. From the time of our birth till death, a way which, now look, seemeth right. It's our own understanding, is it not? That way which seemeth right. Right. We see something we want. We have a desire, and there it is, and it seems right. We consider the matter, and it seems right. We all know it's so. Do we not travel daily by such human logic and thinking? It seems right. Seems right to go here. Seems right to go there, and it seems right to do this, and it seems right to do that, or this. And it seems right. But God says the end thereof are the ways of death. But I want that to stick in your mind this morning. It seems right. This thought, this premise, this idea. I've had this thought. It seems right. Did it not seem right to Saul of Tarsus to persecute those that he considered were blaspheming God? How could it be wrong? Was he not standing for the faith that he and his fathers had had for 4,000 years? It seemed right. How could it not seem right? Peter, a simple fisherman. Seems right. What's wrong with that? Seems right. An honest businessman is what he was, as far as I know. I don't think he was cheating people with his fish. A family man. We know he was a family man. He owned a business. It seemed right. Now I want you men to hear this. Because there's a way that seems right to a man. He had a basic belief in God. He was a Jew. It seemed right. How could such be wrong? It seemeth right. Or the others, a physician, a tax collector, more fishermen. It all seemed right, didn't it? But there's one small problem. You see, God says the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Well, how? You see, now listen, we're giving thought. Oh, well, preacher, I'm telling you, folks, we're giving thought. We're leaning to our own understanding, and we're giving thought. And in truth, we're doing all that we can to stay in this life. Because it seems right, and we're giving thought, and we're leaning to our own understanding, which God says we are most assuredly not to do. You'll find that in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and Matthew 6:34. Give no thought. Lean not to your own understanding. And yet, here we are. All the day long, leaning to our own understanding and giving thought. Why? Well, it seems right. You know it does. And it's been ever so since the woman saw the tree was good for food and gave also to her husband, and he did eat. It seemed good. It seemed right. And here's this smart fella, and he's the serpent, and he says, you shall not surely die. And you know, I've given this great thought. The natural man cannot comprehend death any more than Adam and Eve could. No one had ever died. No one had ever died. How are you going to know something about something that it's never occurred? But you see, the end thereof are the ways of death. So here we are, you and I, this day. Who can say, look, at this very hour, I've already preached to you a little word. We didn't record it, but it was a blessing to me, and I had to pass it on this morning. And who can say that what we're doing here this morning, these men are calling in, and we've got some folks here, and that it doesn't seem right. It seems right, doesn't it? Or I don't think we'd be here. Now listen, for some it is. But for others, now hear me, it is not. Perhaps you're here under false pretenses. Perhaps you've come in some other way than by the door. Or perhaps you're going to leave some other way. Or perhaps you're going to leave by the same door in which you entered. And if you've been with us any time, you know that's not the way it's to be. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. I would tell you that I never turn to the book of Jeremiah. I'm speaking honestly here, that I don't think of Brother Jeff. It seems like Jeremiah is the book by which we came to each other. 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. But it seems right, doesn't it? And maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Now look at verse 9. The heart is deceitful above what? All things. We trust it all the day long. We lean to our own understanding and we give thought according to our heart, and yet God says the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Oh, it seems right. Is this the right in which you place your trust? When, as the prodigal, will you come to yourself? When? When shall you see that, in truth, sir, your way is not right, nor mine, nor any other man save one, the second man? Adam was the first man, Christ Jesus was the second man Christ Jesus. Now, turn back to Isaiah chapter 55. And verse 8. This is an incredible verse. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Oh, well, I thought I was thinking like, no, yeah, it's because it seemed right. But it's not. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now we have to pause here, because this changes everything, doesn't it? My ways aren't his ways, and my thoughts aren't his thoughts. They seem right, but they're not. We have a way which seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, the second man, Christ Jesus, he came to give life. And the end of that life
is eternal life. It's eternal.
That's what I'm interested in. Not this life. I'm interested in eternal life. Excuse me. Now, I want to tell you something about eternal life. And this is going to sound foreign. It requires no thought. Although man would like to think about it and he'd like to try to put that thing, it requires no thought. Because it's continuous. It requires no thought. You ever, given, wondered all the things that we think about that really, and then when we come to the way we figure, well, can you do anything about that? No, sir. Well, then, why are you giving thought? You can't add 1 inch to your height. You can add it to your girth. You see, I never have to think. Now listen, and this is important because a lot of, they've made a cottage industry of this thing. I never have to think, what would a Christian do? And I'll bet many of you do. It's been so popular in religion to consider, you remember WWJD, and they wore the little braces, what would Jesus do? And you get in a situation, what would Jesus do? And guess what? It seems right, doesn't it? Well, that's a cool idea. When I'm here or here and this is happening or this, and well, what would Jesus do? Seems right, doesn't it? Let's see. What would Jesus do? But you see, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says that those in Christ have the mind of Christ. Why must I consider or lean or even give thought? Nature itself. I've got a certain nature. I used to have another nature. Did you sit around and plan your sins? Did you sit around and go, well, I think I'll... No. Well, I think... No. And then you wake up the next morning and, how did I get here? I didn't plan this. But all of a sudden, we profess Christ or we get religion and we believe in Jesus and we start planning. It seems right. What would Jesus do? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Starting in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat. I think we spend all day figuring out what we're going to eat. Or what you shall drink. Or yet for your body, what you're going to put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not. Neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Folks, he's teaching us about faith. Which of you by taking thought can add 1 cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, boy, do we ever. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Well, how shall I be that way? Well, he gives us, he never leaves us hanging. He said in verse 30, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added to you. And everybody goes, amen, but they don't. They don't. They don't do that. And then they wonder. You know why? Because they have a way that seemeth right. They can get around that, you see. And I fear that that's why maybe even some are here at this very hour. And perhaps that's why you are what you are. That's why you're doing what you're doing, whatever it is you do. I'm talking about your profession, talking about where you live. I'm talking about your family. I'm talking about everything in your life. You're doing it because it seems right. We see this babe, but we got a babe in the womb before us this morning. Not for much longer, but he's there now. And we may imagine all sorts of things that he's thinking. I bet he's thinking that I got to get out of here. That's what his mom's thinking, but the babe. But the babe and the woman, he isn't thinking that. He isn't thinking any such thing at all. He's just waiting on God and nature. He's waiting on the one that created him to be born into this world. And when I say he's waiting, he's not thinking, well, this seems right or this seems right. Maybe if I turn a little this way or turn a little that way. He's just like the lilies of the field, like the birds of the air. And it won't be any time at all. He's going to come forth. And you know what the first thing he's going to start doing? He's going to start doing that which seems right. Like that. Wow, how does he know? Yeah, it's the way it seems right to a man. Just like his brother and his mother and his father and you and me. He's going to start doing that which seemeth right. Oh, we must be born again. We must. There is no other way. Jesus said you must. He didn't say you ought to be, or hey, you ought to get born again, or hey, you ought to go to church. He said you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Look at it. John 3:6. I've got time. Have you got time? I know there's a way it seems right. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, turn back a page, would you, to John. Back to John chapter 1, where we were earlier this morning. John chapter 1, look at verse 12. But as many as received him, now look, to them, have you received him? I know you're professing. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. We know John 8:14 says, many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? They are the sons of God. To them, gave he the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood. So he's not talking about this natural birth, nor the will of the flesh. He's not talking about that which seemeth right, nor the will of man, but of God. And then finally in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace
and truth. The Word made flesh. That's the new man. That's the new creature. That's the Word made flesh. And then and only then. Then and only. It no longer seems right. There was a time in my life when such occurred. And all the things I'd done, the first 35 years of my life, they didn't seem right anymore. I'd done them all my life. And it didn't seem right. You know what I can say now? Why I am how I am, and I'm not anything any different, but I'm talking about men that have met the Christ. It no longer seems right. It is right. It is right. No man has to tell me it's right. You see? And the end is not death. The end is life. That way that seemed right, death. But the way that is right, life. Eternal life. Eternal life. Verse 14 we just read. That's our guiding light. Our guiding light. I gave thought this week. I don't know if any of you have ever thought about this. I used to have a bunch of long play records. Man, I was a record hound. I had all kind of records. And sometimes I'd just watch that record when it was playing and it'd go round and round. You ever done? Well, yeah, I'm a different generation. Now I watch that record go round and round and it'd go round and round and it'd go round and round. Sometimes it'd hit a scratch and it'd skip and it'd go around the same thing, play over and over. Roop, 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 roop. That's the way life's been. That's the way life without Christ is. It's a circle. Like this globe that we live on. And you know what? No matter what happens in your life, and I know some of you men know this, you always end up right back where you started. Have we been here before? Yeah, many, many times. Round and round and round. The natural life is truly deja vu. As Yogi Berra said, deja vu all over again. It's deja vu. Haven't I already done this? Yeah, you have. I've had the Lord. Yeah, Lord, have I done it? Yeah, how many times are you going to keep doing it? You remember the fellow that, Doc, when I move my arm like this, it hurts. He said, well, don't move it like that. Stop moving it. And I can tell you this, I'm going to close. Nothing seemed right about Christ. If you knew anything about the church, nothing seemed right about that. Nothing seemed right about God and Christ. I'm speaking honest from the heart. And I'm speaking today, not when I was a lost man. How can it seem right that God give His only begotten Son? You tell me that. You tell me how it's right that God became a man. Does that seem right to you? It doesn't to me. And then, not only that, He lets His only begotten Son, God, become a man, but only for 33 years, and then has Him crucified. Not even an honorable death. But the death of a cursed man. And this man, 33 years, he never sinned the first time. He was perfect. He was the perfect man. was God incarnate without sin. How does that seem right? Well, it doesn't. It's otherworldly. That's certainly not a way that seems right to any man, is it? Does that seem right to you? Doesn't to me. You'd have to be God to do that. You wouldn't do it. Nor would I. And yet his life is to be my light. Now we're back to the darkness. John 1:4 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And it also echoes that in John 8:12. "The light of life," said he was the light of life, and he was the light of men. Does that seem right? Hardly. But you see, there's a way. And it'll never seem right to a natural man. It can't seem right. To this day, it doesn't seem right to me that he died for what I did. But make no mistake, there's a way. God made a way. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and God said, "Let there be light." And now when you open that Bible in Genesis and you read that thing, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and God said, "Let there be light," you know that it was for you. And his name is Jesus.